It's a new season.
Thank you for joining us for the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. And remember, if you are ever in our area, please stop by. We'll make you feel right at home. Now, let's join Pastor George Logan for today's message.
Let's get it. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together this morning, the very last day of the year of 2023, and we're here to worship you and to hear from you. And by your Spirit, we ask that you speak to each and every one of us. Open up our eyes so that we can see, and our ears that we may hear the marvelous things you have in store for us in your word. And so we thank you for revelation knowledge today. We thank you, Father, that we'll see things we've not seen before, hear things we may not have heard before, gain a revelation of things that we have not yet been revealed to us in our hearts. So I ask that you think through my mind and speak through my lips. And by faith, Father, we thank you for it. We render every opposition to your word, every demonic force, inoperative, null and void, and ineffective. You cannot and you will not hinder anyone from having their needs met this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. We don't have the words up today, so if you have a Bible version, or if you have one of those things that are leather and has pages in them, you can also pull that out if you've got one. But we want to turn in the book of Revelation, chapter 7. Before we get into it, let me read the scripture first, and then I'll give you a little introduction. Revelation chapter 7, what did I tell you? Chapter what? 7. I meant chapter 12. I meant chapter 12, verse 7. It says, "Then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle. And he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all the angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters has been thrown down to the earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die.'" Revelation chapter 7, verses, chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. And so I want us to think about some things that may help you out and may have troubled you this past year, but I pray will not trouble you in 2024. A lot of times we don't really know what's affecting us. We feel bad, we feel condemned, we feel judged, we feel accused, but we're unaware that there's an invisible force out there that is creating those types of feelings in us. And this force that is doing this is extremely, extremely good prosecutor. So good that every difficult case out there, this particular prosecutor is called to bear. Because he's had years and years and centuries upon centuries of experience of prosecuting. As a matter of fact, he's been in the universal heavenly tribunal as a prosecutor. And now he's been released upon us to prosecute us day and night. And he has also in his office those that work along with him, that also work for him, that also work for the office of the prosecutor or the office of the district attorney of the universe, as it were. And he's real, real good. As a matter of fact, some of you were in his court this morning. Some of you have been in his court all year long. And he's real good. He's so good that some of you have even considered just calling it quits. Like, I just can't take this no more. I feel like the worst of the worst of the worst. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what to do. I just feel wholly condemned. Like, I'm not going to get out of this. Like, I'm going to be sentenced with this for the rest of my life. This is not going anywhere. Been sitting at the same seat, at the same bench, in the same courtroom for years. And this prosecutor's been pounding. He knows everything about your life, your history, what you've done. He got secret agents out that can tell us, oh, he just did this, or he just did that, or he just came over here. And he's compiling a story against you that he knows about you and me. And he's here to prosecute us. That's his job. To accuse us constantly. To make us feel weary. To make us feel like giving up. To make us feel like it's not worth it anymore. So let's look at this guy. And I want you to know there's a remedy for him. There's a remedy for this guy, let me tell you. Because what he doesn't have is he doesn't have the greatest defender ever known to man. But if you don't know you have that defender, then he will prosecute you until you cry, until you break, until you give up, until you don't want to be here no longer, all of those things, because that's his job, and he's good at it. So let's look at this guy. Let's go back in scripture again, and let's go to verse 7. We'll just read slowly through it again. It says, then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle. Say, the dragon lost the battle. Yes. Hallelujah. And he and his angels were forced out of heaven. So that means that the dragon was in heaven before he got forced out, right? So there was a dragon we believe to be, and it'll define it here in just a second. Let me just let it define it for itself. And the dragon lost the battle, and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, one who deceived the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. So he existed one time, this devil, who is the serpent. He existed in heaven, in another part of heaven, that gave him opportunity to be with God. He was in the divine council. He was able to come in and out of there. Now, how do we know this? First of all, let me define this word devil for us. So when we talk about devil, we mean it comes from the word diablos, meaning slanderer, and Satan, meaning accuser. It appropriately coincides with the description of the dragon in this particular scripture. Satan is a judicial term referring to an accuser or a slanderer, a calumniator, or an adversary in court. All right? Everybody got that? The devil is a supernatural adversary of God and a tempter of humankind. All right? And this word accuse means to find fault and to bring charges falsely or accurately against another. Thus, the accusation may be valid or inaccurate. By contrast, slander is always false, a statement of claim that is both inaccurate and damaging to the character and the reputation of another. All right, everybody with me? So the job of this invisible that we believe as Christians to be, according to Scripture here, the devil or Satan, he's got a job, and his primary job is to accuse. Falsely or not, his job is to accuse. So he may say something that is actually the absolute truth about you. And you know it to be true. It's an accusation that he's making because he's bringing this to the court of your own soul, as it were. And he wants you to believe that you're a nothing, that you're a nobody, that you can't do anything, that your children will always be lost, that you'll never have enough, that you'll always be sick and broken, and that you'll always never be worth anything. That's his job day in and day out, and that's all of his imp's job, is to do the very same thing. So when you think you're going through something and those are your thoughts, oftentimes they're not. They're just, you're in the courtroom. And the accuser is working on you, hoping that his case against you will stick. Hoping that you won't call on your defense to speak out on your behalf. And so his job is to constantly pound, day in, day out, all night long, constantly speaking to you, telling you about what you are or what you are not. He don't care if it's true or false, long as he can get you to believe it. And so he's constantly making accusations. Accusation after accusation after accusation after accusation. And he'll even bring people that look like us, who should be for us, to help spread the accusation. And they'll actually say things about you so that fed by the enemy to make you think you are what they just said you are. In this court that we don't even realize we're in oftentimes. We don't even realize, what just pulled my string? Why am I so angry? Why am I so upset? Why do I feel so down? Why do I feel so depressed? Why do I feel? Because you've been in court getting pounded by the best accuser of all time. The GOAT, as it were, of accusations and prosecution. There's none better. None better. He knows our history. He knows our family history. I mean, he knows everything about our family all the way back. So when you hear words like, you're going to be just like your daddy, that's an accusation coming from the enemy to get you to think that whatever you think negatively about your father, he wants you to believe that's also who you are. That's a lie. But you're in a court. And if you don't have a good defense, if you don't have someone to say, I hate to evoke this, but I got to say it. It just kind of came in my spirit. If you don't have someone to say, if it don't fit, what? Everybody knows that, right? What was his job? His job was to get the very best defense because doggone. Now, some of you might be, might like, I don't know how y'all could not see this. Well, anyway. But his story was he got a good defense, right? I mean, he got a really good dream team of defense because he knew I'm going down if I don't get the best defense. So in the end, it didn't really matter if he did it or not. Once the verdict was rendered, he walked free as though he never did anything wrong at all. Unfortunately, he just couldn't stay out of the limelight. Are y'all getting a picture here? We're in court. And we're getting accused of every single thing. When we mess up, like we really do mess up, like we do sin at times, we do mess up, right? There's a note taker. How many of you ever did something and for whatever reason you just can't shake it, man? Like it just keeps coming up in my mind and just feel like you just keep on going down because of what you just did. And like there's a constant reminder like over and over again, you know, you did that. Well, guess where that's coming from? It's coming from the accuser of the brethren who's there to constantly remind us. Think about it. How quickly would you have shaken it if you weren't reminded of it? So, we have an accuser of the brethren who's been doing this for a long time. Let's look at a story here. Some of y'all are familiar with this story, but let's look at it. This is when he was able to go in and out of the tribunal. Listen to them. Look at his job. Here we go. Let me see if I can get there. Here we go. Job chapter 1. It says, one day the members of the heavenly court, one day the members, did you hear what I just said? The members of the heavenly court. One day the members of the heavenly court came to y'all don't know where I'm reading from, do you? Job 1 and verse 6. Thank you. One day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord. And the accuser, who was part of the membership, right? He's part of the prosecutorial board, as it were. Satan came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan, the accuser. And Satan answered, Lord, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Listen, he's doing that today, but he doesn't have access to the tribunal anymore. But he's still doing the same thing. He's been patrolling there. He's been like, okay, let me watch. I'm going to watch Tim all day long. I'm going to watch where he goes to. I'm going to watch what he's watching on television. I'm going to watch what he says to his wife. I'm going to watch everything about him. I'm going to watch him. And then I'm going to present it before the court of his soul. I'm going to pound him with it. I'm going to bring up everything. Past, present, future, I don't care. I'm going to hit him hard. How many of you didn't realize you were that important, did you? That someone's patrolling you, watching over you, trying to see what you've done. And already knows a case against you in your past. But listen to this. He says, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asks Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Satan replied to the Lord. Listen, he's a chief prosecutor, right? Chief accuser. Satan replied to the Lord, yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property, and you have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is, but reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. That's the devil right there. Conniving. Already knows a little bit about Job. Already knows what's dear to Job. He knew that the things that were dear to Job, Job's children, Job's home, Job's wealth, all of those things were dear to Job. So he's building a case against Job to accuse Job, to bring it before the heavenly tribunal. Look at this guy right here. And I don't want to get into all of Job right now. I just want you to show that the devil was going in and out of the courts of heaven. And his main job was to build a case. In this case, against Job. Let's look at another story here. Let's look at the book of Zechariah, chapter 3 and verse 1. Listen to this. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says here, then the angel showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, the accuser, Satan, was there and at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Joshua. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. Jeshua's clothing was filthy as he stood there before the angel. Listen to this part. So the angel said to the other standing there, take off his filthy clothes. And turning to Jeshua, he said, see, I have taken away your sins, and now I'm giving you these fine new clothes. Then I said they should also place a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean priestly turban on his head and dressed him in new clothes while the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord spoke very solemnly to Jeshua and said, this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. If you follow my ways and carefully serve me, then you will be given authority over my temple and its courtyards, and I will let you walk among these others standing here. Listen to me, Joshua, Joshua of the high priest, and all you who are priests, you are symbols of things to come. Now, I just wanted to see here that in this court of accusations against Joshua, listen what the Lord says. He says, Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, I rebuke you in this court. And here's what I'm going to do to Joshua. Listen, I love this part right here. It says, verse 2, I think it is. It says, and the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. Joshua's clothing was filthy, and he stood there before the angel. So the angel said to the other standing there, take off his filthy clothes. Hallelujah. That means that the accusations probably went wrong. It's just that God had taken his side. See, many of us feel like if I'm in court and I've really done something wrong, then I need to declare myself guilty. Well, you just foolish. No, if someone's going to fight your battle, even if you're wrong, I'm not saying that we go out and just give opportunity to need somebody. I'm saying that most of us are not good enough to represent ourselves in court. And we need someone to say, the Lord rebukes you. I rebuke that accusation. I rebuke it. I send it back to where it came from. Let's look at another scripture here. Is this making sense? Let's go back to Revelation. And let's look at one more scripture here. Look at 1 Chronicles 21:1. It says, Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census to the people of the people of Israel. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the adversary, rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census of the people of Israel. In other words, another part of his job is to convince us to do things that we really shouldn't do. In this case, he rose up and caused David, who God told him, don't count how many soldiers you need. You don't need to do that. I am your helper. And so that's the role of the enemy in society. So let's go back to Revelations. It says, the one deceiving the whole world was thrown down to the earth with all the angels. Now, this is important for us to understand that he started out somewhere where he came in and out of the court of heaven. And then he got to a place where he no longer was able to go in and out anymore. Think about how angry he might be right now. Like, he used to go up there and talk to God. Now all he's got to talk to is us. He's been kicked out. He don't have those rights and privileges anymore. And he hates God for it. He hates God. So his goal is to defame him in court. But he needs our assistance to do so. He wants to look God. He wants to smear it in his face. He wants to make him bring up so many accusations that we sit there before the court and just say, I am guilty. I'm just terrible. I'm a terrible person. I'm just so terrible. But boy, we got us an ace in the hole. Listen to this. It says, he's thrown down out of heaven. Now, let's look at this real quickly. Luke chapter 10, verse 18 says this. It says, yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So when he got kicked out of heaven, Jesus wasn't even on the earth yet. He said, I saw him. I was there when we kicked him out of the tribunal. We kicked him down out of the tribunal. Now he's released to the earth. Are you getting it? And so he's on the earth, and everybody in here, every one of us, we're living in a courtroom. And if you don't understand that piece, you won't know how to appeal. That's why when the Bible says, come to me, come to my throne of grace and receive mercy in your time of need. In other words, come and present your case before me. And what is your case? I'll tell you in just a little bit, and I'll give you mercy. In other words, I'm for you already. In other words, he's saying that I believe in your defender. So whatever your defender says about you, then it's a clear game. You're released. I don't even care what the accuser says. I don't even care what kind of case he brings against you. I don't care what your rap sheet is. I don't care how long it is, how thick it is. I don't care. None of that matters to me. All I care about is, what does your defender say? What does your defender say? Listen. He says, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And listen here. He says, with all of his angels, those are his little deputy DAs. And he's got them at every level. He's got the ones that are real good, and he's got the ones that just get on you for cursing. You know, yeah, I saw him curse, man. He cursed I just saw him. One word came out, and it sticks to you because you knew you cursed, and you knew you said a bad word, and that little demon imp is there to just bug you. You know, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't have cussed. You thought you were a Christian. I remember when I first got saved, not too long after I got saved, I was in the military doing some training, and it was a long day, And I was I had my little Bible in my chest, you know, my little green Bible, and I was talking. They knew me to be a Christian, man. I was a good Christian. I was strong, but I also looked at Christianity also as doing good. That's what I asserted it also as. I knew Jesus. I knew he had birthed in my heart. But what do we normally do when we get saved and we go back to religion is we immediately think it's about our behavior. And the devil knows that about us. We immediately think, well, it's about my behavior now. No, it's never been about your behavior before or after. It's been about him and his nature on the inside of us. So I was out there, it was a long day, and one of the guys that had really we'd been talking about God, and he had really had a respect for who I was, and it was a long day. Can I just emphasize that? I'm trying to make up for the reason why I said what I just said. It was a long, long, hot day, and then we had to go back to the motor pool and do some extra duties afterwards. And so a big old blank word came out of my mouth. Long, big, blank word. And the very guy that I had been witnessing to, ministering to, he sat there and said, because he also associated my faith with my behavior. And I felt so bad. And what do you do when you start feeling bad? Start feeling like you got to make up for it, right? But for a while there, you don't even bring your green Bible out no more. You know, you keep it tucked. You're like, I ain't bringing it out. I'm just going to be cool for a little while. I'm going to try to make up some ground. Because the accuser, my accuser, had now convinced me that I wasn't as saved as I thought I was. As though there's degrees of getting changed. No, you don't change by your spirit in degrees. You change your mind in degrees. It changes over time, but your spirit has changed like that. As soon as we get saved, when we receive Christ, it's done. But boy, once you first get saved, I'm going to tell you the accuser is going to come after you. And he's going to say, well, if you were saved, if something really happened to you in church, if something really happened to you, you wouldn't be talking like that. If something really happened, you wouldn't still be going over there. If that something really, really happened to you, then they'll shit. No. Something really did happen to me, and I don't have the desire to go there anymore, but I'm still find myself going there sometimes, but I'm trying by the grace of God to shake that thing. I realize, and I want you to know, Satan, you what I just did is not who I am, and my defender says so. Now listen, this is where it gets good. Y'all with me? 11:02. And then we're going to get out of here in just a little bit. Actually, we're going to have a Bible marathon today. We're going to go all the way up to 12. We're going to cross over 12 o'clock. We're going to go 12 p.m. Right. My road back here. Y'all good with it back here? Y'all. Matter of fact, they're about to lock the doors back here. So hear this. This is the best part of it. I'm reading from back to Revelations now. So he says here, verse 10, then I heard a loud voice. Everybody say a loud voice. Say a loud voice. Say loud voice. He said, I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. The one who accuses them before God, our God, day and night. Therefore, the one who used to accuse them before our God, day and night. Because he's not accusing them there anymore. He's been thrown down. So God don't even hear him no more. And think about it. If God's not listening to him, why in the world do we? Why in the world do we listen to him when this dude don't even have the right to go where we go? The Bible says we go in the very presence of Almighty God, that we live there. He can't even go there. And yet, he's called many of us to stumble in life through accusations. But here's the big part. And they have defeated him. Listen, current day, not off in the future somewhere, even though there is a future into it all. Find that in Revelation chapter 20. But it says, current day, they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony on what that blood has done. We need to learn how to say so. When he tells us something about ourselves, just say so. You remember back in the day when somebody was just yang, 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 yang. All they're trying to do is get you into a fight, right? That's all they're trying to do. And some of them really good, man. I had some cousins, they were real good at it, man. Real good. I mean, they're like, they can just get you there. But there ain't no defense for so, is it? So? What does that mean to me? I mean, I've been vindicated. I have the DA. I have the blood. I call and plead. That means appropriate. That doesn't mean plead as we plead, like, please, please, please. It means appropriate. I plead the blood. I appropriate the blood. I execute the blood. And when I execute that blood and talk about, through my own testimony, what that blood has done for me. What has that blood done for me? That blood has cleansed me of all my sins. That blood has taken sin as far as the east is from the west. That blood has made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. That blood has taken all condemnation and guilt out of my life. That blood is what I testify to. And I don't care what you call me in court. I don't care what you say about me. A declaration has been made on my behalf. And that decree is that I am born of His Spirit. That decree says that I am no longer a sinner anymore. I'm not crawling on the ground no more. I'm not acting like a worm no more. I'm not acting like I don't belong there. I'm not even going to use the word sinner to my life. Though I might sin, S-I-N, at times, that does not make me a sinner anymore because the decree has been made. There is therefore now, George Logan, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you and I, if we're in Christ Jesus, I want you to know today, there's no more condemnation. Let's go into 2024, not with our heads down. Let's bust into 2024. Knowing that the accuser of the brethren is already, he's the one that's condemned. How is he trying to convince me of being condemned? He's the one that's condemned. The Bible says he will be the one who will be cast into the lake of fire, along with all of his demons. Man, not only don't accept his accusation, but don't accept those who he will use to accuse. Some people are just, they're just plants to accuse. Plants to be in your life, to make you always by the use of the devil. Because remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and powers and wicked things and high places. So the enemy will say, hey, Greg, go tell that person over there how much you don't like them, how much they're so bad, so that they can feel bad. And we just have to say, so? So, and most of the time, where are we saying so to? We're saying so in the wee hours of the night, in the midnight storms, when you wake up and you turn over at 4 a.m. in the morning and an accusation has come against you. You had a bad dream, a scary dream, or some type of crazy dream, and the enemy's trying to say that you are what you just dreamt. You got to say, so? Let me hear it. You got to say what? So? Say it one more time. So? And what are we referencing? We're referencing that blood. We're representing that testimony. Don't just wallow in a bad dream. Wake up and say so. Wake up. You know, if you're aware of the dream, then that means you are aware. And that means you can wake yourself up. If you have a bad dream about something tragic happening, it don't have to happen unless you release it. Just say so. And say, I thank God that he protects whatever I commit to him. His angels are encamped around the mountain. Just don't wake up and be fearful and worried about, oh my God, I just had this bad dream. I think the world's coming to an end. No, no, no. Soul. Brenda shared her story. Miss Kincaid. At some point, I heard her say it. She said when she had her dark night of the soul, she came up out of there, and at some point she said, So what am I going to do? Am I going to sit here and wallow in it? Or am I going to say what the Lord says about my condition? Am I going to side with the DA of my life, or the defender of my life, who says, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed? Ain't nobody with her at night in the wee middle of. Have you had some night dreams where you woke up and you were concerned about your life and where you're going to go and you had to wake up? Was anybody there with you apart from your husband? Was there? Did you turn the messages on? No, no, no. You had to defend. You had to say the blood of the Lamb and my testimony. And that's how we're going to live 2024. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Amen? I said, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the what? The report of the Lord. I said, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whew. I'm so glad. Because the enemy will try to wear you out, man. Boy, he'll try to wear you out. He don't care. He don't care if he wakes you up in the middle of the night. He don't care if you don't get enough sleep. Think he cares? Matter of fact, he's trying to get us fatigued. Okay, I'm closing. I am. Truly. No lie, really. Unless I can get a shorthand to say, go a little longer. No. Let me just say this last thing. There was a terrorist that was with, you know, a 9/11 terrorist. And they captured this guy. And they tried to get him to tell on what was going on and how it was going on. And he just wouldn't. They waterboard this guy. They did all kinds of things to him. He just wouldn't tell. He was just that strong that he would not tell until they deprived him of sleep. Then he told him where his mama's house was and his daddy's and his brother and anything else they want to know, because he deprived him of sleep. What the devil, the serpent, Satan, is the greatest terrorist ever known to man. And we can't see him, but his job is to get us in a state of fatigue and confusion where we begin to say the wrong things out of our mouth and give testimony to the wrong things. All we need to be saying is the blood of Jesus. And I testify to what that blood has done. You know, behind those walls, when they left Egypt, they put the blood on the doors. You know who was behind them walls? People just like you and I. Some even worse. But when the death angel came through, what did he see? All he saw was the blood. He didn't care what they'd been doing, what they had done, what their past was. All they saw was the blood. That blood. I guarantee you, all night long they were just saying, so. So. So, 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 so. In Jesus' name. Did you get something out of this morning? Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, our defender. Our defender. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. Please visit us at our website at www.newdaycc.com. Again, that's www.newdaycc.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please tell others. And if you ever get the opportunity, please come visit us at New Day Christian Church.